Was that what it was like in the old days, Will? Everybody riding out, shooting. Smoke all over the place, folks yelling, bullets whizzing by.
I guess so.
Shit, I thought they was gonna get us. I was even scared a little, just for a minute. Was you ever scared in them days?
I can't remember. I was drunk most of the time.
I shot that fucker 3 times. He's taking a shit. He went for his pistol and I blazed away. First shot, I got him right in the chest. Say, Will.
Yeah?
That was the first one.
First one what?
First one I ever killed.
Yeah?
You know how I said I shot 5 men? It weren't true. That Mexican had come at me with a knife. I just busted his leg with a shovel. I didn't kill him nothing either.
Well, you sure killed the hell out of that fella today.
Hell yeah. I killed the hell out of him, didn't I? 3 shots and he was taking a shit.
Take a drink, kid.
Don't seem real. I ain't gonna never breathe again, ever. I was dead. And the other one, too. All on account of pulling a trigger.
It's a hell of a thing, killing a man. You take away all he's got, and all he's ever gonna.
Yeah. Well, I guess they had it coming.
We all have it coming, kid.
New Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
This is Damian.
And Douglas is playing with his new toy.
No, I figure, you know, I always figure that we start this way and we move depending on how we're sitting. So Damian's now sitting in what is usually, I suppose, my seat. So he would be second in the line if you went fair from enough. Andrew. So that's what I was, you know, thinking. That's
my. But they can't see how we're sitting.
Yes, but we can.
Oh, I get you now. Yeah. So, this week, I wanted us to talk about what we're watching, like usual. However, I know all of us have seen Zack Snyder's Sucker Punch at this point. I mean, I wrote my review on the website, and it's been up for a while. Anyone who's listening to this, I kind of hope they've read that, but let's not assume. I want to start with Damian, because you're, you know, the action junkie.
Yeah.
The Zack Snyder apologist.
I worship at the feet of Jack Snyder.
I love how you've gone to the point where you just say Jack Snyder. Yeah. You don't try to say Zack anymore. You say Jack. What did you think of this movie?
I enjoyed the action and the story he was trying to tell. I forgot that this wasn't actually a comic book movie. This was all out of Zack Snyder's head. Which made sense. because when it comes to the parts of the movie that aren't action, it's not very good. That being said, the problems that a lot of people heard have with this movie, I don't really have. And the one thing I wanted to bring up was that last year we had a guest on, and we were talking about sexism as it relates to movies. How, you know, women leads don't really turn out the same amount of box office as male leads traditionally. And it was nice to see Zack Snyder put all these women in the movie. It's sad to see that they were all dressed as whores. He explained it away, but this, it came from a man's head, and that is why it looks like that. And I can see where women wouldn't like that and feel objectified. It makes sense, because again, they were dressed as whores for the entire movie, and the storyline that you wrapped around that made no sense. But it's kind of sad to see that an action movie dominated by women really didn't have the same. I mean, if this movie had all guys, I guarantee you that it would have made more money than it did, because this movie is, it made what, 20 million? It got,
I don't know the number,
Diary of a Wimpy Kid or some shit. And that's kind of sad.
It got beat by Hop.
Yeah, but children movie. Fine. I was going to come up with some harsh excuse, but it got beat by Hop. That's sad. And then I think it dropped off another 70% the second week. I'm just glad that this in no way diminishes Jack's Mr. Snyder's credibility, because he's still doing Superman. And as long as Mr. Nolan is actually godfather in that project, so that the storyline makes any amount of sense, he can focus on what he's actually good at, which is action. Nobody, I'm pretty sure at this point, I haven't seen anybody do action that is from the western half of the world anywhere close to what Jack Snyder is capable of. So in terms of that, you know, I'm still glad that, I mean, this movie failing won't really tarnish any, because people know what Jack Snyder is good for, and clearly narrative is not it, and he should recognize that and start doing movies that someone else writes. Because I respect him and I love most of his work, but I'll be the first to say the dialogue portion isn't what I go to watching Snyder movies.
Well, I guess I really don't have much to say about this movie other than it was not that good. It had a lot of nice visuals, but that's to be expected from Zack Snyder, as you said, Damian. But really and truly, the main problem I had with this movie was after we got past the 5 minutes of slow motion in the beginning, then the movie itself was just empty, completely empty. There was nothing to it. And it was transparent from the get-go, and it just failed to deliver on every level, and that's about it.
It is as if he came up with the action scenes first.
Exactly.
And then wrapped this nonsense around.
I mean, he watched a lot of John Woo films, and then said, I'm going to do exactly what that guy did.
He watched a lot of anime.
That too. John Woo and anime.
The genre bending that took place, and that's I kind of enjoy that, watching like Nazis and robots, dragons and all sort of shit.
Am I the only one who, when they went to World War II, thought about Killzone when I saw these Nazis in just the mask?
Now that you point it out, I kind of see it. But I enjoy the action scenes, and that's why I go to watch his movies.
No, yeah, I mean, of course, if I were to cut an action scene out of that movie and grab it and have it, you know, on my computer to put on a loop, sure, I guess I'd enjoy that. But my problem is that when you have a movie, you have to give me character. If you don't give me someone to root for, I'm just going to look at your movie and see it as a waste of space.
But there was sexy dancing.
No. There was not sexy dancing. The woman swayed 2 inches to the left, then to the right, and then we jumped into...
Then slowed down and swayed quickly to the right.
And then we jumped into the visualization. And the funny part about it is, when I went to watch a movie, I went with a friend of mine who is a dancer. Right, she dances, and then I would look to her as this goes on, and I ask her, when I watch you dance, that's what I'm to see?
Andrew, please stop referring to her as a dancer.
She's not that kind of dancer.
Where do you watch her dance?
Not that kind of dancer.
Are your singles involved?
She's not that kind of dancer. Her standards are a bit higher.
Sure, she's a private dancer.
Champagne.
Okay. But yeah, this movie.
Nothing else about that.
This movie is a shell. It puts on it pretended to have all of the story. It's like he thought, like you said, he had action scenes in mind. He had all of these dreams in mind where she fought like giant samurais and then Nazis gas powered and stuff like that, and he said, you know what, shit, I can't just release 4 short films, I have to put words in between. And because of the horrible dialogue, writing, character creation, you end up entering these scenes with absolutely no motivation.
What is going on? He should have just, like, literally, he made the trailer, and then whoever was funding it said, we're going to need, like, another...
Oh, wow.
Oh, what's going on? We cannot release the trailer. It's like, fuck.
And you know what the truth about it is? The worst part about it for me is that this movie makes me completely rethink my feelings on Zack Snyder as a director. Because while the action sequences themselves are good, you know, they're enjoyable, and as I go back to 300 and stuff like that, they're good. I wonder about all of, not just his putting together of action sequences, but his overall stylizing of his films. Because when I watch this movie, and Douglas mentioned it, the first 5 minutes of slow motion, by the second minute, I was pulling my hair out, going, why is this still going on?
Alright, yeah. Like, let me... The problem with this movie, the main problem with it is the source material. It's coming from his head, and that is why that part of it is terrible. But you say, you know, the slow motion got annoyed you within 2 minutes. The opening of Watchmen is completely in slow motion. And that is one of the best openings I've ever seen. It conveyed all this story in the first opening, 3-4 minutes?
Would you say he achieved the same thing with this movie?
No. And that's because of the source material. There is
no. But what I'm saying is about the slow motion.
No. He does... The problem with this opening is that it tells you nothing.
Right.
Because the story in this movie tells us nothing. There is no story. There's nothing to the movie.
There's you know what there is? This is this movie. You know what this movie is? This movie is I don't know what the proper term is, but I would assume something along the lines of a character sketch. Or like this movie is what you and me, or no, let's not even say you and me, because we're not professionals. Right? Let's say this is what a writer would hand in and say, I have an idea for a story. Yeah. I'll flesh it out later, but here's the general plot points and, you know, what should kind of sort of happen. And that's it. There is no development.
There's no substance. This is all. This movie is cotton candy. Right? There's absolutely no substance.
No, man. You can't. At least cotton candy tastes good, alright?
No. Douglas, no.
When last have you had cotton candy?
Well,
your brain is telling you that it is. It is wrong. Nostalgia is coloring that it. When he did the opening shot of Watchmen, even people who hated that movie praised the opening of the movie.
No, yeah, the opening of Watchmen is fantastic.
That is because Watchmen as a property is terrific. So even if he does a less than version, it still comes out very good. Now, if you start out with garbage, No matter how much style you add, you still end up with garbage. There's just nothing.
And you know what I think is horrible about it? Thinking about it even deeper, like not just watching those 5 minutes and critiquing those 5 minutes, but moving on into how the story progresses. I feel like watching this movie, we didn't need the mental institution. It could have been the girl went to the brothel, being sold into slavery, and we would have skipped this whole, you know, depth that they were going for with the hallucination into a hallucination.
A shitty script does not a good movie, man. There's just no way around it. You cannot direct out of garbage.
Yeah.
Alright, this is garbage. Let me use my power of direction to make this pile of nonsense, but you can't. You can't. There's just so much that he could have done. I mean, if he had started it out with an action scene, blank screen, chapter 2, and then another action scene, it would have been over in like an hour, and people would still have been pissed. But at least no one could blame the story. They're like, well, he gave me an hour worth of action. I don't understand what happened, but I don't care. I'm not watching Jack Snyder anymore.
I'm actually really happy to hear your thoughts, because after our conversation in email, when I confirmed to you that this movie was in HD and I made my very quick comment on the film, you said, and I quote, "Thanks. Despite your meticulous review detailing what aspects of the movie failed to live up to your expectations, I'm going to ignore your review wholesale and watch the movie." Right. And I'm kind of happy to hear that we can agree.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not blind, that blind to the fact that the movie's bad. And I will not recommend this movie to anybody. But what I expected out of that movie, I got out of that movie. I sat there while there was no action, waiting for action. And then when there was action, there was a smile on my face. And then the action stopped. I waited for more action. When the movie was done, there was people complaining. I give a shit.
Like, I would be more forgiving of this movie if this was like his first movie. You know, if this was, and then we would look at it as, oh, he can do action. As opposed to, this is a guy who did Watchmen and 300 and gave me 3D owls that I enjoyed.
I don't know about that.
No, I will give Legend of the Guardians. I enjoyed that movie as much as I didn't expect it. Like, I went to it because of the same reason I went to Sucker Punch. I said, you know what? It's Zack Snyder. He's earned the right to make me watch it.
He'll get his redemption with Superman.
We hope.
Because no, it's not a matter of hope.
No, I know the reasoning you're going for, and I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Because he's going to put more action on the last one, and that alone. Right. That alone will. And you're going to see Nolan's name somewhere in the opening credits.
Produced.
Ah, executive producer. Okay. Plus, I'm pretty sure Nolan's going to read that script first.
Okay, so Sucker Punch, don't watch it?
Unless you worship, like me, at the shrine of Snyder.
Unless you worship. So Douglas, what have you been watching this week?
What have I been watching this week?
Or we could say the last 2 weeks, because we didn't record last week.
Yeah, well, I watched a movie by the name of The Tiger and the Snow.
I also saw that.
Yes, did you?
Yes.
What did you think of that, Damon?
I'd like Douglas to speak.
Douglas
first.
To speak? Okay. Well, this movie really had two fairly great attractions. One was Benigni, Roberto Benigni. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, fantastic, or he should be. And the other was Tom Waits.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Waits, one of my favorite singers around. But anyway, so I found out about this movie and I said, yes, let's watch this. And I wish that I could tell you that this movie was before his big hit, Life is Beautiful, because this is very much, if it was a precursor, it would make sense, because this feels like a less good version of that movie. This is exactly what he was trying to pull off, and he failed. You saw him try his hardest to make it all heartwarming and sad at the same time, but it just never worked out. And not even Tom Waits singing and doing crazy stuff could make
doing
that
one song,
you know. I know, yeah,
repeat it over and over. Like every time they're like, all right, this movie's garbage, how can we keep people on? Right, we can come back to weights.
Yeah. And actually, a funny thing, I didn't know this, because I know this song already. This song is on his album, Orphans, Brawlers, and whatever, the one that came out a few years back. And I just thought it was from that album, but apparently this song was actually written by Tom Waits specifically for this movie.
Okay.
So, yeah. But yeah, so I watched that movie and was disappointed. I've seen a few other movies, but since I've transferred to my new phone, I actually don't have the list. But
when you had a brain that could record.
I know, right?
Hey, I have a list. I'm not gonna lie, I forget sometimes.
But no, I rewatched a fantastic film called The Fall, and that movie just deserves. If there's no way to praise it more than it should.
There's people who don't like that movie.
And they're crazy.
And when they come up with reasons, it tends to annoy me. That is one of the few movies when people say they don't like it, I'm still annoyed. Most other movies, I don't care. But there's nothing... That movie is sweet. It is.
It combines sweet a heartwarming story with... amazing visuals. Right.
When I think of Heart, that is the first movie. And then it's so pretty. So goddamn pretty. The movie's great.
And it's light and it's deep and it's the best. It's a really good combination of it's a melange of, you know, themes.
That movie's really like stupid good.
And Andrew, of course, doesn't watch it.
Andrew's ignoring Andrew.
Mm, yeah.
I'm probably not going to like it anyway. Seems like one of those people.
Exactly. I watched Battle Los Angeles this week.
Where?
There we go. That movie, really, they tried for a Black Hawk Down, but they really ended up being closer to an Independence Day. And, but at the same time, even though I see the bad things about it, I kind of was able to enjoy it for what it was. And
You didn't go in expecting...
Yeah, I didn't go in expecting the greatest thing ever. So, yeah. So, it is a fairly bad movie, but you know what? I can watch it. It's alright.
I remember when I commented on that movie, it was before Damon had seen it, and Damon went, Andrew, why are you... You're so wrong. It can't be that bad. And now it sounds like Damien agrees with me, kind of. You've seen it now.
Yeah, when we saw the trailers for Skyline and Battle Los Angeles, I was right in Battle Los Angeles is a better movie than Skyline, but that is more indicative of how horrible Skyline is than how
Have you seen Battle Skyline now?
Yeah. Than how good Battle Us. I watched enough of it to know that I didn't want to watch anymore. I didn't see all of it.
You didn't get to the last 15 minutes.
Is atrocious. And so I saw enough pretty aliens murdering people to go, alright, I don't need to see.
Anyway, I want to talk about something. I remember now, finally. I knew there was something that I really, really wanted to talk about. And there's this new show. Well, it's not a new show. New show to me. That it's actually 35 years it's been going on.
Ah.
So it's clearly not new. No, it's a show on PBS of all places that I found. And Andrew nods because he knows exactly what I'm about to talk about. It's a show and it's called Austin.
I don't think I'd call it a show.
It's a day. A 1 hour every year is a season. There are about 20 episodes a season. That's a television show to me.
Am I being punked?
Anyway, no. So this show is called Austin City Limits. Mm-hmm. And what it is, it's really... You ever watched Reverb on HBO way back when? Okay. Well, Austin City Limits is something akin to that. It's essentially... it showcases musicians or artists or whoever... Mm-hmm. And essentially they perform. It depends on, I guess, how cool they think the artists are. Some of them get an hour for the whole show. Some of them get a half. And then there's like a little mini interview afterwards, but that don't really count. I don't really worry about that.
So it's just discovering new
music.
But
it's exactly, it's discovering new music, and it's really great. I the first episode I saw was the one with Andrew Bird, and that guy, I've known about him for a while and I've been into his music, but that performance was just stellar. And it really pushed me to kind of look at some other ones, and I've seen, I watched, there's an episode with Mos Def and K-9 in it, which was pretty decent.
So let me, so this 1 hour TV show is doing more for music than MTV and BET combined.
Yes.
PBS.
Yes, it is. PBS. And I mean, I've just...
No sadder statement has been made ever.
And I've just scraped the, you know, like, top of the barrel. I mean, apparently this thing has performances from Tom Waits way back when, and some
who, as we know, Douglas cannot resist.
It's like a magnet.
Whatever. And there's Esperanza. There's an Esperanza Spalding episode that I started watching.
Maybe it's that same live album for Tom Waits, since that's an Austin album.
Oh, that could be, you know, which makes sense. And that Austin album is so
I do love
good.
That album.
It's almost, it's essentially a new album that he made for himself. That those songs have never come anywhere else. I mean, that's great. I should check that out. But anyway, I just wanted to talk about that because that show really, I mean, I created an editing nightmare
for Andrew as he tries to edit all of your intercuts
back into
your section.
But no, seriously, that one episode with Andrew Bird in it, in the first weekend that I found out about it, I'm pretty sure I watched it about 5 times. It's just spectacular.
Yeah.
I know I've watched a couple of my movies, but I can't remember. Damien, what did you watch?
Well, for the last 2 weeks, I guess someone heard our talk about Senna and sent me a copy.
Did they?
And it has...
How was it?
It has led to... I have problems with that movie that have nothing to do with the movie. I'd spoken to Andrew before and told him that I was going to watch Carlos. Carlos is 5.5 hours.
Movie, yeah.
Right, it's 5.5 hours. Senna is 3 hours. I've seen Senna 3 times, still haven't started watching Carlos. I planned on watching more movies and really couldn't. Senna is amazing, but I knew this before the documentary came out. There's issues with the documentary itself, but it is so heavily outweighed by my love of the material that talking about it doesn't diminish how much of a 10 and how much of a good movie that this... I mean, this movie's nothing that is coming out this year is getting anywhere close. I cannot see anything that is going to get... There's no way. So I'm going to table this discussion for end of the year, because there's no point in me talking about it. No, I'm too close. There's no objectivity at all. If you think you're going to like the documentary, you should watch it immediately, because it is everything that the commercial promised.
On a side note, I'm just curious to ask, because it's something that I've been thinking about recently. We watch so many movies, and we tend to go back in the catalog a lot of times. However, I find, I don't know if this is the same with you, I'm almost sure it's with Douglas. Documentaries, do you tend to go back in the catalog a lot for documentaries?
It depends on the source material. For documentaries that... So, like, Man on Wire, I keep going back to that.
No. I'm not talking... I mean, how we will go back to the Third Man, and we will go and find 1940s films. Do you ever go back and find...
Not really. Usually when I type in list of best movies, no documentaries appear.
I'm just curious, because it's just popped up in my mind recently as, why don't I do that, you know? Because, for example, I hear people talking about The Grizzly Man, and I've never seen that, but I never feel the need to go back, because it's not a no documentary.
Right. Usually when I look at lists for movies that I haven't seen, or movies that I'd like to see, documentaries don't usually pop up on those lists, so... that's the real, like, if they had more, like, IMDb's top 100, if there was more documentaries on that list, I'd have seen more documentaries. If you consider Amadeus a documentary.
That movie's awesome, though.
And The Birth of a Nation, if that's a documentary. And yes, I've seen documentaries, but no.
Okay, just curious.
National Geographic gave me one of my favorite movies last year, which you two bastards hate. And they put out a movie this year, The Way Back, with Ed Harris, Colin Farrell.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch that
The
movie.
Chick from Hannah.
Yeah,
that movie's awesome.
Yeah.
Saoirse Ronan. I'm sure I'm pronouncing her name wrong, but whatever.
I think Colin Farrell and that girl found some way to steal the movie from all of the other great actors that were surrounding them. Mark Strong is also in this movie.
I
don't want to spoil anything. The movie surrounds these people who were trapped in a camp. They were trapped in a camp when the Soviets took over Poland and, well, most of Eastern, Western Europe. And people who were traitors to communism were sent to this camp. And they found a way to escape, but they had to walk thousands of kilometers to get from where they were in Siberia to India.
So I'd just like to point out, that's how you know this is a European film, because they walked thousands of kilometers as opposed to thousands of miles. But continue.
Yeah, but
because the metric
right,
system.
We use kilometers, because that's what you're supposed to use. But the movie's great. There's so much drama between these guys. Colin Farrell once again proves that when he wants to act, he can.
Speaking of Colin Farrell, another movie I watched this week, but whatever, I don't need to talk about it. Did you watch London Boulevard?
I refuse. Keira Knightley and her? No.
Who's the other girl?
No, Keira Knightley and him. Keira Knightley and Colin Farrell. When I saw the poster, I went, none of them are trying in this movie.
Of course, you know what happened to me, right? I don't know if it's a poster or if it's just a still, but I saw a shot with him in a suit pointing a gun at somebody, and I said, oh, in Bruges, yes, please.
In Bruges, it was not.
It was not. It was not.
Speaking of whatever her name was, I keep forgetting her name, the girl.
CRC, yeah, Ronan, or whatever it is.
I went to see Hannah. The trailer.
You've seen it?
Yeah. The trailer overpromises. What is it, that movie? The movie isn't bad. I don't want to give that impression. But it isn't as awesome as that trailer.
How bad is Kate Blanchett's accent?
Kate Blanchett, how can it be bad?
The acting is not the problem with this movie. The more the pacing is the problem. The movie, Eric Banner, if we're talking about accents, his accent would probably be the one that people might take issue with. But I've heard enough people from that part of the world speak to know that that's pretty much what they talk. He pulled it off well enough.
Where is he supposed to be from?
He's from Germany.
Okay.
And the movie is, there's this girl who was genetically altered, and the government wants her back, and she goes around murdering fools, while Eric Banner goes around somewhere else murdering fools. And somewhere in the middle of the movie, it becomes a children's movie, which feels weird. And then they remember that it's supposed to be an adult action movie again, and they turned on the action towards the end. So the pacing, there's a mismatch there, but the movie's still good.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of conflicting things about it.
Right, there's people who are talking like this is the greatest movie that will come out this year, and they're wrong.
I'm guessing they haven't seen Senna.
Senna, apart from Senna. No,
I'm guessing they haven't
The Way Back is better. No. The Way Back is better than this movie.
Is The Way Back this year or last year?
No,
this year.
Don't care.
Isn't it? I think it's this year.
I think you should just watch it and stop worrying about when the movie came out. I also saw a couple of TV shows, new TV shows. I saw Camelot. No one should watch that. Eva Green is in it. I thought it would have been good.
Eva Green cracks.
Yes, Miss Green cracks. I don't even know if she's good in it because I hate the show that much. Mildred Pierce, HBO's new series, miniseries.
Or Kate Winslet takes her clothes off.
Hey, guys, HBO usually gets these things right, and they got it right again. Do you like Revolutionary Road? Do you like Kate Winslet? Merry Christmas. I also saw... Now, I'm not a Tudors fan.
You did not watch Boris shows. What is wrong with you? I decided not to watch that on fucking principle. That original awful show, The Tudors, is horrible.
That show is so goddamn awful. It makes Kamala look like a masterpiece. Goddamn, these shows are terrible. These shows, but they're targeting the same people who... say Spartacus is a good TV show. Spartacus is not a good TV.
For some reason, all of Jamaica thinks Spartacus is awesome.
It's because there's nakedness every 5 seconds, and then when there isn't nakedness, there's men stabbing each other. That show is garbage, and the Borgios, sweet Jesus, not good, guys. Really, really not good. I started watching Lights Out. Now that it's been cancelled, because I'm.
Remember what I said about that show?
So timely. Lights Out is really good.
Is it really?
It really is.
Nah. Shut up.
Do you watch boxing at any point in your life?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So why is it that you don't like this movie?
It just feels like a regular drama. It doesn't feel any. No, it doesn't feel it. Like, I'm not saying it's horrible, mm-hmm, right? And I'm not, but I don't think it's great, especially when you pair it up against other FX shows which we're in love with. And at that point in time, it was a question as to whether I wanted to add one more show to the rotation. And I was like, no, not this one.
Yeah, and apparently not enough people added it to a rotation because it's been cancelled. I can't see why. I don't think this... the material just doesn't compel people to watch it. It doesn't... It's not one of those shows like Justified where every week it's going to come out and you have that twitch that says, guy, you should be watching Justified. But, you know, Fox is going to cancel more shows. They already cancelled the best show that I'm pretty sure they're going to put on TV. I mean, in God's name, is Terry has not getting another season. We should be able to petition that.
Because people are...
assholes.
Yes.
But they are. I also saw some old movies. Your favorite movie of all time, Almost Famous. Guys, it's not... I mean, I tried loving that movie.
Andrew, it's close, but it's not my favorite of all time.
I'm sorry, Andrew. That movie... It shouldn't be anybody's favorite.
I love that movie so much.
It's kind of... I saw American History X again. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know this. Adnan guy is really good.
Yeah.
Like, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I rewatched Fight Club recently.
How was it?
I like it.
Oh.
Don't
think,
talk about it.
Think you're like the second or third person I've ever heard say that.
I still have a couple problems with the movie, but I still like it.
Shut up.
Okay.
Problems.
Okay.
What the hell is wrong?
What is this you talking about? I mean, I'm pretty sure I saw the things, but those are... So, just to recap, any new TV show that came out...
I'd just like to say we've almost recorded 40 minutes so far.
Senna's the greatest movie.
And Andrew hasn't talked about anything yet.
I started watching The Orange Clockwork.
The Clockwork Orange.
That movie's garbage.
Wait, thank God someone's with me. Someone is with me. Oh my goodness.
Right. I guess we'll have to start disagreeing at some point, maybe. Right. I suppose we did, right, but... I really didn't think that
I
it would be
understand.
Here. I really didn't
I
think
understand
it would be
why film lovers enjoy that movie. Because much like Rubber, it is punching the fourth wall in the face for no reason at all. But it is an ode to unnecessary things. Like, all right, I have so much clout, and they will give me anything I ask for what is the craziest shit that I can do? I got it. And he went out, he took like a handful of LSD, walked into some room, and this is, that movie's good. Because it doesn't tell a story. You remember how movies are supposed to tell a story, and transport it to somewhere else?
It tells a story of,
where?
Of a troubled child, a troubled individual, and his what did they call it again? Droobies, whatever.
Right, sorry, Andrew. Let's not get into it.
Actually, I'm really happy to hear that, because first of all, I didn't know you had not seen that movie yet. I watched that movie for the first time when I was away that year at Lawrence, and the first time I watched it, I couldn't get through all of it, because it was the first movie I think I had watched which really disturbed me for some reason or another, and then I had to watch it. I had to actually get through it. Like, so what happened was, my girlfriend at the time was doing a psych course, and she had to watch it. So then she made me watch the whole movie at that point.
Oh, so that's what that movie is for. Psych evaluation. If you like this movie, you're a psychopath, Douglas.
And I hated every minute of that movie.
Forget as much.
Like, sometimes I feel I need to watch it again to then correct whatever I think is wrong with it. Like, maybe I've grown as a movie lover since then.
I hope you would have.
The Double Life of Veronique. I still haven't watched it. To me, that is a bad... That is not the right way to go about reviewing movies.
No, but you...
Trying to convince yourself that there's something good when you know... You didn't like it the first time for all these reasons.
No, but you're talking about rewatching it like 3 weeks after seeing it. I'm talking about 5 years later.
Yeah, but it traumatized you the first time. I'm guaranteeing you not watching it now, not going to solve any of those feelings.
Don't they say time heals all wounds?
That is a lie.
Anyways, this week I watched... I started to get into some Hitchcock. Like, Hitchcock is one of those big directors which, like all of the other ones that everyone mentions around me, I just haven't seen that much of. And whenever I think of Hitchcock, I keep jumping to North by Northwest, because it's one of the few movies I've seen, and I do love it oh so much. I watched his first... Well, it's not his first film, because he did a lot of silent movies, but it's apparently the only film that he won an Oscar for. And it is Rebecca... With why can't I remember his name right now?
What's her face?
And Laurence Olivier, right. Or as Douglas corrected me all the time whenever I said it before, now Sir Laurence Olivier. And I did not enjoy this movie.
What?
Like, hold on. This movie had a story. And it had some great cinematography in it, but it took an hour and like 45 minutes to get to the point, which was really awesome, which was that one, like, you've seen it, so you know what scene I'm referring to. So all of that hour and 45 minutes, especially after her name isn't Rebecca, we never find out her name, Mrs. De Winter, the new Mrs. De Winter, once she gets married to Laurence Olivier and she's in the house, like, all of those moments leading up to that scene, that fantastic scene towards the end, like, it's just so stretched out and boring for me. Like, I don't know if it's that, like, when we went through the classic films way back when, right. And you spoke about how certain things watching these movies now, we've seen it 1,000 times at this point.
Right.
But
so it doesn't feel...
Yeah, it doesn't feel fresh like how it did to people who saw it the first time.
To be fair, I saw Rebecca while going through the top 100 list. Mm-hmm. And that movie came in a stretch of movies around a similar era. So I pretty much got into the groove. That's a poor way to say it. But I started appreciating how these movies were made. And so by the time I got to Rebecca, you say it feels long, but that is what I expected the movie to have been, and I enjoyed it. I mean, the characters, I mean, we don't get movies like that anymore, where it's just focused on these characters and the intricacies of their lives. No one can make move. If they're going to make a movie like that, it's going to be some shitty rom com that no one should see.
I can say on a side note,
Blue Valentine, Blue Valentine is the only movie to have come out in years to even attempt anything like that.
Say on a side note, and I'm sure this is definitely something you can say that shows how well Hitchcock does movies. I didn't realize until the end of the movie that we never find out her name.
Wow. Yeah, it's really cool.
And it didn't bother me at all. You know, it was just like, oh, she's that chick.
Rebecca is her name, damn it. I saw the title. No,
I also watched Notorious. With Cary Grant.
Stop it.
and for clarification, since Douglas is going to do that, it's a 1946 Hitchcock directed Notorious. This movie's fantastic.
It's the good one.
Unlike Rebecca, I didn't feel like this dragged at all. Cary Grant is brilliant. Like, even that scene where you first meet him and he's like in the house and he's the party crasher, and then you start seeing him drink with the woman, and I can't remember her name right now, who the woman is. She's drunk off her ass, and she goes driving, and you see that scene, and you know watching it how they filmed it back then, and it doesn't bother me at all. It's just so wonderful anyways. You see the policeman come up, and you see her talk. I love the dialogue. Cary Grant has a way of delivering dialogue that just... I keep coming back, as I've mentioned already, to North by Northwest, and there's this one line in North by Northwest when everything's finally explained to him as to what's really happening, and he comes back to the FBI guy and says, I can't be a part of this because, I mean, I'm an ad exec. I have bartenders depending on me. I can't be in a red herring, you know, and his delivery of lines like that is what you get throughout all of this movie. And then when you come to that final scene, when they're doing such a simple thing, and I don't want to say what it is because for people out there who haven't seen this movie...
Spoilers for...
No, I'm not going to spoil the movie, but I mean, it's such a simple thing as to what they're doing at that point. It's kind of like the ending of The Killing, the Kubrick film. Mm-hmm. Like, I just loved that end frame so much. Like, that's how I felt when the ending came in Notorious. And it's one of probably the best, I guess you can call it, a spy movie. Kind of.
Let's call
it. What else do I want to mention? I want to mention I saw Shallow Grave. Anyone seen that one? It's a Danny Boyle film, one of his early films, with Ewan McGregor, Christopher Eccleston, I think that's his name, and... I can't remember the chick's name. This is so horrible. I can't remember any of the women's names. Oh, Rebecca, the woman's name is Joan Fontaine. Just remember that. And it's about these three friends who are all flatmates, and they're looking for a fourth. Finally, really early in the movie, they find a fourth. They accept him into their group. He comes in, he moves in, and then he dies the next day. They find he has a pile of money. And it's about these three friends and how it works out that they try to cover up his death and keep the money and what happens between them. And the movie is really well done. It's a really it's funny when it needs to be funny because they're three basically friends. I mean, Ewan McGregor plays a journalist, Eccleston is an accountant, and the woman is a lawyer.
And they're living together. What?
But they're all living together and they're all like best friends.
They have enough money they can move somewhere else.
No, they're, you know, young professionals.
This movie's been plotted. I don't like it.
And it's just
BS.
And it's just a fun movie. And even towards the end, when it starts to become a proper thriller, it's really good in how it handles its plotline and its resolve. Like, Nolan would be proud of this movie. And I know that's stretching your
other people make good movies.
I mean, you're going to come back to me in a month telling me you've seen this movie and you're going to say Andrew oversold it again.
No, but Danny Boyle made the movie.
It's a really good movie and I love that. And
speaking of Ewan McGregor, did any of you guys watch Ghost Rider?
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I saw it.
What did you think about that ending?
What did I think about the movie in general? It was bad.
Let us ignore the movie. What do you think about the end?
It was stupid.
Exactly. Okay, let's just make it sure.
And the last movie I want to mention is an 80s movie starring Keith David and one infamous Roddy Piper.
This doesn't sound good.
Directed by John Carpenter. It is They Live. It is the B-horror action movie fantasticness that John Carpenter was built to make, and I loved every moment of it. I mean, people have referenced the amazing fight sequence between Roddy Piper and Keith. Have you seen this movie?
No.
You haven't.
John Carpenter's name is attached.
Yes. No, you don't like John Carpenter?
No.
Not even Big Trouble in Little China?
No. I mean, he has movies that I enjoy, but by and large... Mm-mm.
Whoa, I don't think I've seen a John Carpenter film I don't like. Okay. And I've seen a few. It's a B movie, like, through and through. Like, you look at some of his movies, like The Thing, and you'll be like, this man can make horror movies, but this is one of those really rubbish movies that turn out awesome because of how stupid it is. It's this guy moving from town to town. He stops in his town, Roddy Piper, and he is looking work, and he gets work on a construction site, and he comes to live in like this open area that people just live in, like homeless people. and then he stumbles upon this group of individuals trying to educate everyone through viral messages and hacking into cable signals and stuff that aliens exist in this world, or whatever they are. They call them they don't say what they are, but it's obvious they're aliens. And he stumbles onto these sunglasses, and the sunglasses give him this sort of x-ray vision that you can see the difference.
What's the name of this movie?
They live.
It's about aliens. Oh, wait, it's a John Carpenter aliens. Okay, I haven't watched this one.
And it gives you this x-ray vision where you can see real people and the aliens. This is like
people.
Yeah. And
it's like Buckaroo Banzai.
I haven't seen all of that movie, but I'm sure it's just like
that. I love that movie, but at the same time, it's a horrible movie.
And he then sees it, and then it immediately prompts Roddy Piper to start shooting up the aliens.
Who is Roddy Piper, by the
way? He's a wrestler.
Yes, Roddy Piper.
He's a wrestler who became an actor.
Okay. You shouldn't say became an actor.
And, I mean, it's infamous for two things. There's that one line which everyone has probably heard where he walks into the bank with the shotgun and says, I quote, I have come to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum. And he just starts shooting up people.
So he's Duke Nukem.
And there's...
You've never played a Duke Nukem game?
Of course I haven't.
Then how can you net have heard that line?
Well, I haven't played Duke Nukem in about 15 years.
Yes.
No one has.
That is
no one has.
That line was relevant 15 years ago.
I remember more of the... Duke Nukem took a lot from
Evil Dead.
Right. Thank you. And I remember more of that.
Right. It's the same. I'm assuming it's the same tone, both movies.
Yeah. And also, like, in the middle of the movie, when Roddy Piper starts to educate Keith David as to what's going on, they have this, I don't know how long it is, it feels like it's 10 minutes long, fight scene. And it was referenced, I know, in an episode of South Park, in which they had, instead of Roddy Piper and Keith David, they had Timmy and Jimmy fighting. You've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It's that fight sequence.
Okay.
And it is... It's amazing. It's hilarious as you watch it and you see these people just continuously go at it. Like, you feel like they're going to stop. One guy has won.
Mm-hmm.
And they start to walk away and the next man just gets up and continues the fight. It's, like, it's a fun movie.
Okay.
It's... Yeah, I really like that movie. Anything else I really want to mention? Not really.
You saw Fair Game.
I saw Fair Game.
Was it good?
Was okay.
Which one's Fair Game?
The one with Sean Penn and Naomi Watts.
Why? Did you not watch the translator? Wrong with you.
It was directed by Doug Liman. I wanted to watch it. I like Doug Liman.
I want to watch it too.
He did Mr. and Mrs. Smith as well as The Firstborn.
I've heard his name once or twice.
I know that he deserves some respect, but at the same time, just to counter that respect, not even the interpreter. Let's talk about Doug Liman specifically. He told me to watch a spy show on USA starring Piper Perabo. No, thank you.
And on that note,
he did. Look it up.
So, this week in trailers.
Hey, the WonderCon footage of Green Lantern came out.
Anyway.
The first trailer I want to talk about is this new Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling movie.
Stop right there.
Whose name did you call first? Are you high?
It's called Crazy Stupid Love.
25 years of marriage and you have nothing to say? I'll just say it. I slept with someone.
If you keep talking, I'm going to get out of the car.
I think the fact that I did it just shows how broken we are. Okay. How much we really... Oh, my God!
You're getting a divorce?
Yeah.
Amy heard you crying in the bathroom. We all thought it was cancer.
Oh.
Thank God, man.
Yeah, just my relationship.
Hi. Can I buy you a drink?
Uh-huh.
Let's get out of here. Want to get out of here?
Yeah.
What are you doing later?
I don't know.
I do. There's lots of beautiful women in this bar, but I can't take my eyes off of you.
It's time to go home.
Oh, it's forward of you, but okay. Yeah. Should I pull the car around? Have you been drinking? I'll drive.
Hey, ladies man guy. Any tips of the trade?
Your wife cheated on you because you lost sight of who you are as a man. Why don't you take that straw out of your mouth? It looks like you're sucking on it.
Okay.
Wait.
It's the Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone, Julianne Moore movie.
Exactly.
I'm not watching that.
Exactly. Have Steve Carell in the background.
Because you see, Andrew, when that trailer starts, and you see Julianne Moore, you're like, oh, okay. And then you see Steve Carell. And then it just all hits the fan. You're just like, okay,
I don't need to watch this.
I'm and done. And then all of a sudden...
Gosling and Emma Stone. I'm sorry. This movie is okay.
So Damien,
they baited me with actors that I like.
Yeah.
Nothing.
A lot of them.
Nothing about the story.
Carell, I don't like most of his movies. He did Date Night. Not a fan.
Smart.
Get Smart. Oh. He did.
I like Get Smart.
Cause you're crazy.
Bruce Almighty 2, Electric Boogaloo or some shit.
Then in real life.
Yeah, but that's one movie out of like 100, Andrew.
No, yeah, I'm with you on Steve Carell. Like on a whole,
and I don't
not really
Office,
a fan.
So
The Office is awesome.
Yeah, you keep saying that, but he's still wrong. he's a negative. Let me just be honest. Seeing him in the movie did not endear me to this movie in any way, shape, or form. In fact, was planning on not watching the movie. But then they started bringing in all these other people that I like. And so I went to watch the movie.
But then Julianne Moore talked about Twilight.
It doesn't matter. Julianne Moore can talk about anything she wants. She's Julianne Moore.
Exactly.
She was in Single Man.
She was in Magnolia.
Now, talking
about
recent movies. Single Man.
Movie.
She was in...
I just got the
movie
Blu-ray.
Last year with the lesbians and Laser.
Kids are alright.
I watch anything with that woman. She's really good.
Yeah.
No,
if they put Mark Ruffalo in this movie, then we'd have to call like some government agency. Anti-competitive.
Did you see the trailer for apparently his first film he's directing now? Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name of it, but he plays a priest and it's about this child who gets Jesus powers and can heal. Ruffalo is in it, mm-hmm. and he directed it. He plays a priest and it's about this other person, this child who gets the power to heal anyone.
Okay.
Like, he starts out in a wheelchair and stuff and it looks bad.
I have abandoned my child.
I
don't doubt it. I don't know of Ruffalo being any kind of a director. That's not why I want to watch.
But I'm just saying, since you mentioned his name, and I don't think we've talked about that at all.
Yeah, but I want to watch this, even though Carell is in.
Yeah. So despite Carell.
Despite, yes. Exactly.
Despite of him.
I am of the same opinion, the same exact view. This movie, actually, a piece of me wants to watch this movie more as an educational experience. Not quite educational, but like experiment. An experiment, right? Because I've seen Ryan Gosling was in a few movies this year. I think just two, right? Was it only the two so far this year?
Right.
It was Blue Valentine and All Good Things.
Which was not
tremendous. Okay. We've all said our piece about Blue Valentine and how wonderful that movie was and how great he was in it.
Right.
But there was this other movie and it was horrible. All Good Things. But
still haven't watched it.
At the same time, right? No matter how horrible this movie was, if you watch it properly, this guy gives a stellar performance.
He's very good at acting.
Yeah, he is. And so I actually want to see...
And convincing me that he's other people.
Right. I want to see if he can translate that into this type of movie where it's clear that he's not... Well, I don't want to say it's not a serious role, because if you take... if you're in anything, maybe you should take it seriously. But no matter what you're doing, you know?
And isn't he in the next Nicholas Refn movie? Nicholas, the guy who did Bronson and Pusher and stuff.
That sounds awesome, but I didn't know that. But anyway,
the movie Drive, isn't he going to be in that movie?
I don't know about that movie. Not sure.
Nicholas Winding Refn, that's his name, Winding Refn. I knew there was
I didn't even know he was doing a new movie.
Yeah.
I figured as much.
But yeah, I want to watch this movie and see if he's able to somehow channel his awesome acting power into this kind of role.
Emma Stone, she's able to, even when the movie's supposed to be bad, when all pointers are directing the movie to be bad, she's able to find goodness in the
movie. You never spoke about Easy A. What did you think of that movie?
I love that movie. I love the parents.
The parents are fantastic. There's no question about that. But
I love
her. That movie is...
I'm not, I'm not going to say that it's one of the best movies of the year. No. But I still love it. That movie feels tailored to me. Right? They had all of the references. They were mocking all of the references. I like the whole the Jesus freak banging the headmaster's wife thing. All of it came together well enough, and it's just fun. This is when I knew that something was wrong. That pocket full of sunshine bit, I was laughing at the end of that bit. And I saw that in the trailer and went, this movie isn't going to be good. And laughed while I was watching the movie. So, I mean...
I remember watching that teaser with that came out and going through the same exact emotion that she went through in that minute. Because I started out going, really? And then by the end of it, I was laughing because I'm like... just to let you know, the new Nicholas Winding Refn film Drive, it is the guy who did Pusher as well as Bronson.
I know him.
Starring Oscar Isaac,
okay,
Kerry Mulligan,
all right,
Christina Hendricks, Bryan Cranston, and Ryan Gosling.
I need to put this, right.
It will be released September 16 this year.
Oscar, what's his face?
Oscar Isaac. He was most recently, sadly, in Sucker Punch.
Who was he in Sucker Punch?
He was the guy with the key.
Oh, okay.
But he's also in Robin Hood, as well as Body of Lies.
That movie was stupid.
He hasn't been a big name so far, but... I guess I kind of noticed him in Sucker Punch, and he looked like he could be alright-ish.
No, he did well in Sucker Punch, actually, if you think about it. But this just
the nonsense Zack Snyder wrote.
Yeah, you know.
So yeah, just wanted to continue on the Drive side, but yeah, back to Crazy Stupid Love. I agree with Damien. I'll move on. The next trailer I want to talk about was a new trailer for Takashi Miike's film 13 Assassins. I guess this movie looks fantastic, but at the same, it looks fantastic for all the reasons that Damien and I love movies. It looks ridiculously action filled. They're going to be samurais with swords, and it's going to be crazy. But at the same time, I look at it and I'm like, yeah, this is Seven Samurai with 13 people. But I doubt it'll have the story, the same character, the same character depth as Seven Samurai.
But think about it this way:
about what he just said. This movie is going to aim to be Seven Samurai. Now let's say they fall short of absolute greatness, we'll get a good movie. I'm willing to accept that,
Douglas. I think you're the only one who hasn't seen Seven Samurai, have you?
I have, but so long ago that I really don't remember much.
I know he's busy watching better movies.
Exactly. I mean, like, come on. Like, Easy A.
Not like that. So goddamn movie almost made us review. Tom Waits can kiss my ass.
Whatever. So, what are we talking about? Oh, yes. The
13 Assassins.
This trailer, to tell you the truth, this trailer looks like it knows who it's marketing for. It also looks
people
like
people watch IP, man.
Yeah, man. It also,
you know, I still don't watch a movie.
But it also you looks like it's lying. It looks like it. I mean,
are the sequels good?
In a sense, I feel like it can't be lying. It has to be very action packed. But it looks like there's a lot of window dressing in this trailer, and it looks like it's trying to play up that fighting aspect. And I think that if you go into this movie expecting nothing but, you know, a Damien type of action movie, you're probably going to be...
I think you haven't watched enough Japanese action movies.
Especially all Takashi
talking,
Miike.
All the talking in that trailer is probably all the talking that's going to be in this movie.
Maybe they'll have a couple more scenes where you see the people walking
right,
to the truck.
Towards chopping other people. There'll be no talking in this movie. I can guarantee you, Miike is no joke.
I keep thinking of Audition.
That you'd understand what,
yeah,
what people supposed to, why people go and watch action movies.
It's apparently available via VOD now.
Yeah, only we live in the States. Thanks for making me feel better. What the fuck is wrong with you?
8.3
on IMDb. Well done. It's all lies.
The last trailer I want us to talk about is the final full theatrical trailer for The Hangover Part 2.
Hey everybody, here's some fun facts. The population in Thailand is 63 million people. It is twice the size of Wyoming. None of you know Stu like I do. I can't even tell you what we've been through because we made a pact. What I can tell you is this. This is not Stu's first marriage. There was a whore in Las Vegas a couple of years
ago. Time's up. Sit down, bud.
Come have a drink with me and the guys.
Go and do me a favor. Take my little brother Teddy with you.
That is a great idea. Bring the kid.
All right, one drink.
You did it, buddy.
Sure did.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
What the hell? I wanna see you.
Oh.
Your hair is gone.
No.
Oh.
I'm scared.
Stu, come on, get up. We gotta situate.
Holy. Where are we?
You're gonna freak out, but it's gonna be okay.
What's, is it my teeth?
This is a real tattoo!
Alan, what did you do? Did you roofie me?
I didn't do anything.
No!
Ah! Oh, jeez.
Ah! It's a monkey!
Douglas.
Okay. So it's the second Hangover. Okay. I don't know. I mean, this movie looks like essentially it's just really capitalizing on the first. Not to say that it's not a bad thing, because the first one was hilarious, and if they're able to kind of even make the same movie again but as funny, I'd be fine with that. And that looks what they're really trying to do. And sure, whatever, but I don't need a trailer for that. Just tell me when it's coming out.
There was no Tyson in this movie.
But there was a nice little callback with the
tattoo. His tattoo made it into the movie.
Guys, you remember how we laughed a lot at the first Hangover? Guess what? They're making a second one.
you know what made me really happy, though? I remember seeing all of the images coming out. And the first thought I had to myself, other than, oh my God, I have to watch this movie because it's going to be hilarious again, is, you know, it would be horrible if the story is they lose the same friend again.
Right.
Like, I would never be friends with them again after that. They drug him and they leave him somewhere again.
I still remember the first trailer. Where are you guys? The wedding's in half an hour. That's not good.
I know what you're saying. I'm about that.
Yeah, that's not good. Can't write that up. I'm glad that Bradley Cooper is now famous. I've liked him in shitty. I saw him in Alias and liked him then.
Yeah, me too.
And I hate Alias.
You know what I liked him in and didn't last very long? There was a chef show he did, a restaurant Fox. TV show on Fox. Yeah. He was in.
Was
after
him?
He left Alias.
Okay.
Huh. He had like a restaurant show where he ran a restaurant.
You know who was in it?
Sure.
Arquette. Patricia. The man.
Larroquette.
Yes. John.
Yeah,
Larroquette.
He was in it for a bit. And the show didn't last a season because, you know, Fox, they cut anything that doesn't.
What, a million people on one list? No.
I remember liking it at the time. I'm sure if I watch it now, it's crap. But, you know, I liked him. And, I mean, he was in the 18. I hear Limitless is actually good.
Yeah, that's what people, lying people keep telling me on the internet.
That cannot be true. I mean, I love Bradley Cooper to death and all, but that movie looks horrible.
And that is what everyone said. That is how every single review starts. Yo, this trailer look like garbage.
But. And you know what's the worst part? I listened to the episode of Jeff Goldsmith's Q&A, because if you haven't heard, he's left creative screenwriting and gone and done the same exact thing he was doing before.
That's how the internet
on a new website for himself.
Which
and
is
he,
the worst website ever.
What, the creative screenwriting website wasn't that good either.
God awful. Literally, it's a blog and it's just the postings of it. There's no writing anywhere.
There are certain people which have enough credibility that they don't need design.
You literally MP3 files posted on a site. It's awful.
I'm sure people don't go to his site, they just click on iTunes. And he got the writer for Limitless to talk about the film and the process. I think I spoke to Douglas about it, about how she got the property, and I just really like the story behind it, and I really want to watch a movie.
I usually watch movies first before I listen to
it. I try to as well, but I felt like that movie wasn't going to come out here anyways because it seemed already gone. As far as I can tell.
But that's the good thing about computers. They can save shit.
I know, but I just felt like it at the time. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to watch this movie anyways because the trailer looks horrible. And I ended up getting really interested by listening to her talk about the movie.
Lying. I know they're lying. It's a bait and switch. As soon as I watch a movie, then the backlash is going to start.
then people need to realize that they're in their ways.
It's like
right?
The episode one of movies.
I already know what's going to happen in the movie because I listen to the Q&A more or less. Like, there are very few things that you can't tell by listening to that Q&A, but as I said, it sold me. This week, Damon wanted us to watch another Korean film. This time,
I did that on purpose because Douglas forced us to watch another French film, which was god awful.
Was it French or Italian?
Another shitty
directed by Jung Byung-Lee.
Sure,
I tried my best. Damon, what is this movie about?
Right. So I heard about this movie from some guys who were reviewing the movie we watched before, I Saw the Devil, and someone said, hey, one of the guys in this movie was in this other awesome movie called Man From Nowhere. And the, for some reason, and I don't know why my brain works like this, I heard that title and my mind went immediately to My Name Is Nobody, which is a Western starring Terrence Hill.
I don't know that one. Yeah.
Have you ever seen the Sprint ads where the guy slaps, where he pulls a gun, puts it back and slaps the guy? Have you ever seen that?
I've seen that.
Right. That is where that gag comes.
I've always seen this stuff where they try to clap the gun.
The guy is reaching for his gun and he'll draws his gun, points it at him, puts it back in his holster and slaps the guy.
Before he does anything.
Before he kills him. Right. And I said, well, I like that movie. Despite it having no relation.
Other than the title.
And then I saw the trailer and went, hey.
No, I've had this movie to watch for a while.
It's good.
And it came out on DVD like a month ago.
It's on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And it is pretty. Very pretty. And this movie is about a pawn shop keeper who became friends with a young lady whose mother is a whore, as with every single Korean movie.
She's a stripper. She's a really nice lady.
She's a dancer. She's like your friend.
She's a private dancer.
I hope they're gone. She never hears this in any way or form. Like, no one figures out who she is and listens to this and tells her.
I know who she is.
I just want to know if nice things happen in Korea. Is it just all kidnappings and murdering people? Does anything else happen in Korea? Every single movie we watch is the same.
It's funny because there was a point, like maybe 15 minutes into the movie, where as soon as it reached there, the only thing I had to say was revenge starts now.
Yeah, exactly. like the second the little, like, this isn't spoiling anything, the little girl is like, you were my only friend. I'm like, guys, you can't do that. You can't have small children cry on screen, right, just before something bad happens to them. That's not fair. That's cheap. And it was cheap, but it works. These guys know how to make revenge films. So he becomes friends with this little girl, and through no fault of her own, she is then put in a very bad situation, and this guy takes it upon himself to go and find her. This movie is Taken in Korea, and it is awesome. so awesome. The final fight scene in this movie is close to the top in terms of my favorite action scenes that I've ever seen. That knife fight is amazing. They said, you know, old boy did it.
I love that very last moment in that knife fight.
Yeah.
Nice touch.
No, I'm not going to say that. I'm saying it for you. No one can see what I just did. I love revenge movies, and this one is one of the better ones. It's so good. So good. It's not I Saw the Devil. I Saw the Devil has set a new mark for me. That movie is crazy. But this is really good. And there's the action scenes. I mean, setting up a revenge movie isn't that hard. Executing the revenge is where all the joy is to be had, and they had fun executing it, and I enjoyed watching every minute of this.
Can I tell you, I'm really upset with this movie.
Why?
Or maybe I should say I'm really upset with Korean movies in general, because I've watched movies like Old Boy,
mm-hmm.
The Chaser,
mm-hmm.
I Saw the Devil, and really, really good movies still don't compare to those. Because those are just
I don't understand.
Just so good. So this movie is that is the case for this movie. This movie is really good. But while I was watching it, I was like, but
I could be watching I Saw the Devil. I could be watching. I mean, and at the same time, I didn't really, because I did enjoy the movie. But you know, every once in a while, ended, I'm just kind of like...
Yeah. When the movie ended, you're like, you got... It was a good try. It was a good try, guys. It's not the most awesome.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, but I guess you can just pretty much... cut, copy, and paste what I've said for any of the current movies that we've reviewed. Other than the fact that this one was just a hair below the bar that has been set by those. The acting was good. You know, everything was great about this movie. I really enjoyed it.
The thing I enjoy most about this movie is... the final shot of this the movie, because all the others that we've seen have ended one way, right? And it is nice to know that some amount of joy can be taken from these movies. It's not all horrible things begets horrible things, but that knife fight, dear Lord, that knife fight is awesome. So good. Andrew?
No, can I tell you? Oh, I've spoken my piece, kind of, but...
Okay, awesome.
You know what was even cooler than that? Well, the knife fight on a whole was really cool, and as a sequence, really can't match it, but one small, like, thing that happened that I thought was really cool was when he took out his wallet... To give it to the robbers, or so you thought. And then all of a sudden, he just uses it almost like a catcher's glove and just steals somebody's knife. and the guy, you just look at the guy's face and he's like, that did not just happen.
Am I in the same movie?
And all of a sudden, it pans out, right? You are no longer in the room with him. Yeah. You hear like a glass shatter, and then you go back to the room, but you don't say anything. You just see everybody's the same guy's face, same, and he's on the phone, and he's like, "I think I have a problem."
Yeah, we're going to have to. This is a bad plan. I know we thought this might have been a good plan like 2 seconds ago, but this is not a good plan. There's so many moments, like in that final scene, there was this guy hiding on the other side of the pillow. I guess like, what? Bang. I like him using people as human shields. It's so great. Brings a smile to my face.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going to ignore anything. I'm just like, every time I turn on Korea, he said that.
So every time I turn on Korea, I'm joking. First of all, I want to make it perfectly clear. I really like this movie.
But
I really like this movie. However, I like this movie akin to movies like Equilibrium. I like it because of the amazing action sequences that this movie has in it. I mean, you guys have mentioned them already. It's not as good as I Saw the Devil. I don't think the action sequences are as good as I Saw the Devil at times.
Beautiful. Oh, at times.
No, that last scene.
Tremendous.
Yeah. However, there are certain, like... When I was watching this film throughout, as I started to go through and I started to process the actual story and the storytelling going on with it, I felt like...
This is cheap.
Yeah. Like, a lot of the story reminded me of a lot of really... I wouldn't say the word drawn out. That's the wrong word. Why did that word just come to mind? Trite cop movies. And even the Korean revenge films we've already seen. This movie... doesn't even come close to the kind of revenge story we've seen. Not even the filmmaking, but the revenge story.
Right.
And, I mean, this director, I just looked on his IMDb list. This is his second film, writing and directing. And the only other film he's worked on. And I've never heard of it. It's something to do with Cruise to the Bone or something like that.
Never heard.
And I feel like this movie just utilized the idea of... we have an unassuming hero who we start out thinking, oh, he's just a regular pawn guy who we've never heard his name, and then he uses a wallet to steal a man's knife, and this is so fucking awesome. And then it runs off, it just rolls on the awesome factor throughout the movie. But unlike movies...
You realize you just described Taken.
No, yeah, I get you, but I'm trying to be somewhat critical of the film at the same time. Because I don't
just
want
people... enjoy movies. Whatever happens to enjoying movies.
Because I don't want people to hear this and say, oh, it's I Saw the Devil Part 2.
But we said it wasn't. I remember me and Douglas said it wasn't. I said that it was cheap, right? You cannot have a small child cry into the screen 2 seconds before something bad happens to her. It is cheap. However, if you're going to make, if you're going to have that in any movie, it might as well be a revenge movie, because you can get away with it. Because you need some reason to be on that guy's side. And you need some justification for why he's going to now go out and murder hundreds of people. Right? That is all you need. At least it's better than the daughter who's his daughter. Mm-hmm. Like someone came back and took his daughter and he's running him down. That is even more cheap, because you don't have to set that up. And that is what Taken did. And we all love Taken. Right? I'm going to find you and kill you. We all love that movie. Right? They took his daughter. What the hell else was going to happen in that movie? The whole of that opening was unnecessary. They could have started that movie when they took her, called him, and none of us would have been... the movie would have still been just as awesome. Revenge movies are the easiest movies to make. Right? There is an issue early.
Right? A problem.
And you resolve that issue throughout the rest of the movie. Right? Where these movies... the Korean films that we've seen previous to this, they have taken that formula and twisted it around. But at the end of the day, the formula, the basic formula is the same. They've just, the devil is in the details. This guy took the easiest route, right? Some of the other guys took, especially like in Mother. That, my friends, is how, that is how to take a basic formula and make it really, really complicated. While still making it good. And I Saw the Devil was another twist on the formula. But at the end of the day, these movies are revenge movies. And so you know what is going to happen. Right? Someone has to take revenge on somebody else. It's kind of simple.
No.
But I agree that, no one is saying that this is the best one of its kind. But it is fun. And that is all I ask revenge movies to be. Fun and engaging. At no point did I go, this movie, I've seen this movie. Even though we've seen all of this already, you didn't go, well, I've seen movies like this already, so I'm not going to watch this. No, the movie was still good. And that is, you don't have to put on a critic hat all the time, right? It's a revenge movie. What do you think is going to happen? Be glad when revenge movies exceed the expectation, but when they don't and fall in line, as long as it's still good, I don't see what I don't this complaint that you're going to make now. It so seems ridiculous.
Like,
you, the ice cream tastes too good. This ice cream tastes like every other
ice cream. It's just like not as good.
Yeah, it's not Häagen-Dazs, but alright. So, and we need to take off masks.
Do this Häagen-Dazs versus Baskin Robbins.
What Häagen-Dazs ice cream are we talking?
Pick.
Häagen-Dazs.
Just curious since you brought that up.
Hey guys, I'm late.
You can tell hi to Suki.
Sugar.
Alright,
let's hear what you're going to come up with now. Right. So, your problem with the movie is that it's a revenge movie.
No, my problem isn't that it's a revenge movie, because that in itself isn't a problem. You've mentioned it. Revenge movies are good. They're fun. They're easy. However, I don't know. Maybe it's because I have a few to grab onto when I think of Korean films, and even worse, the fact that all of them are pretty much revenge movies, that it's not so much comparing them, but noticing... Well, I guess it is a comparison. Noticing how much the quality in... almost every aspect, excepting the action, dips when you watch this movie. From the filmmaking, to the story, to the acting. Like, I mean, maybe I'm looking for something that isn't there, and it's kind of hard when you're looking into foreign language films, but some of the acting in this movie...
I'm not saying that this was stellar acting here, but what was wrong with the acting?
Compare it to Old Boy.
Again, you're comparing something that's really good to something that is almost unimpeachable.
Do you just go around comparing every movie to the best in the
universe? Yes, everything needs to be Apocalypse Now, and if you're not Apocalypse Now, you have lost.
No, I see where you put that leg up, and I'm going to now take that leg that you're standing on.
All right.
So by that logic, young man.
Do we have to bring in that word? Do we have to mention that word?
Yes, because that is how you're going to use it. You're saying how you review movies is that you take the best in class and use that to govern all of your review. And that is a lie, Andrea. You know it's a lie.
Andrea, how would a movie that you enjoyed and loved and praised critically,
mm-hmm.
how would, say, the A-Team... Mm-hmm. stack up against Old Boy?
Yeah. Not very well.
I would at first remind you that that's very much apples and oranges.
Whoa.
I mean, you know, I'm comparing I Saw the Devil acting to The Man from Nowhere, which are very much apples and apples.
Okay.
This one is easy, right? You said you like Legends of the Guardians, right? You said that. Am I correct?
I did say I liked it.
Right.
I enjoyed
it. What would you rate that movie, Andrew?
I could actually go back and check.
Okay.
But I'm not going to do that. I'm pretty sure it's a six or seven. Somewhere in the range of 6 or 7. Right.
Now, on the scale of animated movies that have ever been made, where should it actually fall on that scale, Andrew?
In terms of rankings?
Yes, in terms of storytelling, right? Let's compare that god-awful story to Pixar. How does it compare?
It gets pooed on by dogs talking about squirrels.
But it was still really good, wasn't it?
Right, you still enjoy it.
Yes.
Okay.
So now back to
There's still something to that I was praising in the Guardians, and still something I'm praising in this movie.
So like A-Team is an action movie.
Mm-hmm.
The first Matrix was an action movie.
Mm-hmm.
You gave the A-Team a high score. That shit is nowhere close to the Matrix. So.
Yes, and the score wasn't close to the Matrix.
Wasn't it?
No.
What did you give A-Team?
Probably an 8.
Okay.
The Matrix is a 10.
Okay. So it's just 20% better.
Yes.
Matrix has that redefined that genre. It's just 20% better than the A-Team.
I think at this point I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to hope people listening to this understand what I'm saying.
I don't understand what you're saying.
And Damien and Douglas just continue their lives. Unaware of how
you have to overcomplicate an action movie. Let me explain to you. Action movies, you're supposed to be happy when the story makes some kind of sense. when it goes out of its way.
So you're saying when you watch a dramatic film, you're supposed to be happy when they have an action
scene. Exactly.
If
they have some good action scene somewhere, like, didn't expect that. But thank you. That's good stuff. You don't demand that from you. But if they give you, you go, that's good. That is good.
And I guess on that note, we have to say goodnight. You can find the podcast we're all positive on this film. As much as I had problems, I still enjoy this movie. Douglas and Damien were a bit more positive about this film. A bit more forgiving is how I would put it.
Forgiving.
So, this is definitely a recommend. It's on Blu-ray, check it out.
So, Kung Fu Hustle.
I love that movie so much.
I know, does that compare to I Saw the Devil? Because that movie is
apples and other kinds of apples.
That movie is a revenge movie. I saw that movie recently. Guy.
Is it funny that I was watching this movie, I already got the hatchet at one point. I thought, I want to watch Kung Fu Hustle again.
That's sick.
You can find the podcast on G-Man Reviews as well as all of my writings. I'm on Twitter at G-Man Reviews, and you can like the all the stuff on Facebook / G-Man Reviews.
No,
Damien can be quiet. You can find Douglas on Twitter. He's DJ, I lost his name. Damien doesn't want to talk to you, so send him an email.
Yes, Damien White at Gmail. If you have PlayStation and you're on PlayStation Network, it is Damien White.
You can play games with him.
I'm not trying to hide from anybody. I don't use cryptic names because I'm not a child. DJR. Lost his name.
My name is DJR. You know this, right?
Yes. The lost his name.
Because I lost my name.
Someone stole his username.
Okay.
And he thought he was being fun.
There's no way to take letters out of your name and create a new name. No?
So, yeah. Thanks for listening and good night.
Douglas J. Robinson.
Yes, it's the saddest experience you'll ever know. Because one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do.